Our second scripture reading is found in Hebrews again, chapter 4 this time. If you look at the end of chapter 4, beginning reading at verse 14, read down through chapter 5 and ending at verse 9. So it's Hebrews 4, 14, down to 5, 9. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this, he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who was said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek," who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who is able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Let's pray. Father, we look to you again to do what you alone can do. We pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the main means of grace in preaching. And we pray that all of us here this morning would hear from you. You would bless your word by the Holy Spirit and to the glory of Christ. We thank you and praise you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was always getting nervous at preaching, and because it's not the thing I'm most comfortable with, but I, you know, try. And so, but one of the things is important for a preacher, especially if you're going to be up front, is that you at least dress, you know, in a fairly normal way and dressed up way, you know. So I say that because I'm looking down here and I'm relieved that I have my suit on, tie, and shirt. I had a dream last night, and I've heard other pastors say that they have these kind of nightmares where they go up, they're in front of people preaching, you know, and for some reason I was rushed and I didn't get dressed right. I had a t-shirt on and some jeans with a lot of paint spilled on them for some reason or other. So I'm good right now. I'm really way ahead of the game and I'm okay, so I'm at least not that bad. This morning we'll mainly be focusing on Hebrews 4, looking at the verses 14 through 16. I think our brother has them up there. That's this week's memory verse. So focusing on Christ, our great high priest. And if we're in Christ, if we're saved, we have Christ. He is a great high priest. We're going to be talking about why he's so great and the need that he fulfills. Maybe that you can appreciate the role of the high priest, and especially if you've never read through or studied through the book of Hebrews. It would be more, if you're familiar with the Old Testament particularly, you know the role of the high priest. Aaron was a high priest. And I would encourage you to read the Old Testament as Pastor Mark, the broken record that he is. So encouraged us in Sunday school to be reading through systematically the scriptures, but that's important. And then you would come to Leviticus in chapter 16 and see how Aaron was to go in and prepare himself and offer a sacrifice for himself and for the people, be that one that who would represent the people to God and God to the people. And that's the role of the high priest. We're not familiar with that role of priests. We normally associate with the Roman Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church and maybe some other churches. They have priests. And maybe we feel like we're missing out because we don't have priests. But that's not true. Bible is very clear that there are no more priests. There are no more sacrifices. There is only one priest that we need. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as our high priest. We have all we need in him. We do not need human priests to represent us to God. He is the one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And being in this role, this is a role that we need to understand a little bit better. And if you read the book of Hebrews, you can't ignore it. It's all throughout the book of Hebrews, Christ's role as a priest. He's our advocate. He's our mediator. He's the umpire or the lawyer, in a sense, that brings us to God, represents God to us and us to God. He's indispensable. We may not even appreciate it. Even if you're in Christ and you know your Bibles a little well, you may not appreciate, as we should, the importance of having Christ. That's what I'm planning on doing in this sermon this morning, is helping us to better appreciate it. Because sometimes, even if we know these things, we need to hear them over and over again. So if we don't appreciate it, hopefully we will a little bit better. And then maybe there are some here this morning who this is just foreign to altogether, because you have no high priest. If you're outside of Christ, you have no priest. You need someone like Christ. You need a high priest, and you don't have one. And so you're under God's judgment, under God's wrath. You have to stand before God one day to give an answer for your sins and to be judged for your sins and be cast into hell forever and ever. That's what we need. We need someone to, like Christ, to be our great high priest. And I hope that this morning God may open your eyes to your greatest need. The greatest need you have is Christ. So what does this role, this high priest, do? What does Christ as a high priest, what does he look like? What does he do for us? And why do we need him? Well, one of our greatest needs, and I think this is universally felt, we need forgiveness for our sins. And it's Christ alone who can forgive our sins, who does forgive our sins. We read that in 1 John. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So we need that forgiveness through the blood of Christ. We need his sacrifice for us, his propitiatory sacrifice to turn away the wrath of God so we can have our sins forgiven. And we can have his righteousness as well imputed to us, the perfect works, the act of obedience of Christ in working out a righteousness for us, his whole life, never sinning. That's what that verse means, yet without sin, perfectly obeying. And we need his righteousness. We need him and his forgiveness. We need him. You also need his intercession for us. We see that in chapter 7, that the Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for his people. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost those who come to God. He brings us to God. And that's not a one-time thing. Because we all fall into that mentality at times. We think of things as being one time repenting, one time believing, one time coming to Christ. We need to appreciate that intercession for us, that he brings us to God through his blood and sacrifice. He redeems us. He brings us to God continually. We can't go to God apart from Christ. We need to go to God continually. And the only way to go to God is through Christ, through having him as our great high priest and mediator. Whoever lives, it says, who came to God through, uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. He ever lives. He's at God's right hand on the throne of majesty on high, interceding, which is a big word for praying for us. And what does he pray? He pleads his brother. We sang about it just a few minutes ago in that song. He ever lives to plead his blood, his righteousness, his sacrifice for us, and to plead and pray that our faith won't fail. He did that for Peter. He says, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. If you ever wonder why you don't fall away, which is most of us, we're on the brink sometimes, why we don't go all the way and fall away and walk away, it's because Christ is interceding for us. He's being our great high priest. By doing that role of the priest was to offer the gifts and sacrifices to God and to represent the people to God and intercede for them. That's the role of the earthly high priest, and that's the role of the perfect great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. The earthly high priests had sin of their own to confess and to sacrifice for. Christ is the eternal God, an eternal and fully God and fully man, and he is without sin. He is holy, harmless, undefiled. That means harmless there means innocent, undefiled by sin, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, means he's been exalted. And God saw, he said, it is finished. And the sacrifice was accepted, the stamp of approval. He rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And now is seated at God's right hand, the majesty on high. And that's where he intercedes for us. It says, who does not need daily as those high priests. There's a great comparison in the book of Hebrews between earthly high priests, human beings like us, and Christ. And it's what we need. We need one like him who does not need daily as those high priests who offer up sacrifices first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, Christ did once for all his people, when he offered up himself. You see, he was the sacrifice. He's the priest himself, and he's the sacrifice himself. He offered himself, his body, his soul, his precious blood for us. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness. They have their own sin. They have their own darkness of mind. But we have Christ. With the word of the oath, he came after the law and appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. It means he did all he came to do and is now at that point where he's interceding, sitting at God's right hand and ruling at God's right hand. You see, he's not only our priest, but he's our prophet teaching us and our king, ruling and reigning. And he's reigning from that throne over his kingdom. And we're in that kingdom if we're in Christ. If we're not in Christ, if you're not in Christ this morning, you're not in the kingdom of God. God is not your Father. Christ is not your Savior. And you don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's the reality. That's what Scripture teaches. So we need him as our high priest. Romans 8:33-34. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He continues to pray for us as our high priest. And he blesses us. One of the roles of the high priest in the Old Testament, the high priest was to bless the people. And Christ certainly is our blessing. He's our greatest blessing. We have every spiritual blessing in Ephesians 1:3. In Christ Jesus, all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. We're accepted in the Beloved. So not only does he intercede for us, he forgives our sins, but he blesses us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was breathed out, was given to the church by Christ. How much more of a blessing do we need? We have the Holy Spirit who is given to indwell us, to be Christ's representatives in us, to be Christ's representative in us, our paraclete, our great comforter, the Holy Spirit. And it was through Christ, our great high priest, that he came. Fourthly, we have what we so desperately need, a high priest who can sympathize. Here in our text again in chapter 4, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." And it's put in a kind of unusual way there. It states it in a negative. It means that we don't have one who cannot. And I believe it's, again, to contrast the earthly high priests. They had their own sin. Now, that kept them humble to some degree, but didn't, if they weren't saved, they didn't have true humility, or they didn't have true compassion and love for the people. But Christ does, to an infinite sense. He has great sympathy, was in all points tempted, tested, tried, suffered every bit, yet without sin, short of sin, everything that can be experienced by a true man. And we our minds just can imagine what Christ suffered just putting up with sinners. The daily insults, the daily viewing of people's sins, the daily foolishness that he saw, the daily wickedness that was in front of his eyes. He wasn't kept from that. He wasn't in some monastery. He was there with his family and with his friends and with the people who were sinning all around him and doing foolish things, especially his disciples. As we read through, Pastor Mark preaches through Matthew, and if you read through the Gospels, you see how foolish the disciples were, how slow to learn, how little faith they had. And he had to sympathize with them. He did. He showed compassion to sinners. Hebrews chapter 2, "Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered, being tempted or tested, he is able to aid those who are tempted." He's able to sympathize in an unbelievable way. And J.C. Ryle writes, "Jesus is the high priest of matchless sympathy. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." That's the way it's translated in the New King James. It's a pretty good translation. Touch with the feelings of our infirmities or weaknesses. He's touched. He's touched down to his deepest core, down in his heart. He's touched with our weaknesses and our infirmities and our temptations and our trials and our sufferings and our tears and all that touches his heart on earth, touches his heart now, because he's the God-man. He's there in heaven. Touched with the feelings of our infirmities, his heart is always overflowing with love, pity, and compassion. While he was on earth, he wept at the grave of Lazarus. He wept over unbelieving Jerusalem. He had an ear ready to hear every cry for help. You think of the people that would cry out, and he'd not turn them away. He'd help them. Every cry for help, and he was going about doing good to the sick and afflicted. One of his last thoughts on the cross, and this is an amazing thing when you think of the suffering he was experiencing on the cross, that he had any sense or any strength to do anything. But he said seven sayings from the cross, and it said one of his last thoughts on the cross was one of care for his mother. He gave her to John, and she ceased at that point to being his mother. She was now committed to John and became his. One of his first messages after the resurrection was one of peace to his poor fallen apostles. And he is not changed. Think of how he restored the apostle Peter, wickedly denied him three times, wickedly. One of his closest disciples, and yet he had compassion and pity and showed him mercy and love by restoring him. He carried that wonderful heart up to heaven, and as ever watching the weakest lamb in his flock with merciful tenderness. What a great high priest we have in Christ. Superior to all the other high priests, he had no sin of his own. They had sin. They offered sacrifices for themselves and the people. Sacrifices, again, wouldn't be needed unless there was a reality to sin, unless there was a reality to the wickedness of sin. All the sacrifices in the Old Testament pointed and were appointed by God to point the people to the seriousness of sin, the wickedness of it, what it deserves, death, the death of the animal, and the blood that would needed to be part of that sacrifice, spilt because of sin. And yet Christ didn't have to offer for himself as the earthly one did, but he was sinless. He was holy, harmless, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, without sin, as our scripture says. The earthly high priests couldn't continue. They couldn't continue forever. They had a limit. They were human, and they died. Sometimes God struck them dead because they weren't right in heart to represent the people. But eventually, even the good ones died. They couldn't continue in that role. But Christ ever lives. He ever lives. He ever continues to live and intercede. Now, the point of this, main point of the things, Hebrews 8:1, we are saying we have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne on majesty. He's there, ever living in that throne to rule and to reign and to sympathize and to intercede for us. So what a contrast. And he enables us to draw near to God. It's one of the keys. If we don't get anything else in this message, remember that we need to draw near to God. It's the best thing that we can do. It's the thing that we must do more often than we do. These words here, along with the encouragement, hold fast to the confession of faith, to what we believe, and hold fast and not drift away into error in doctrine or error in our lives, which both can happen. We hold fast our confession, but then we're to come boldly with confidence to the throne of grace. And that is what drawing near to God is. And it's what Christ enables us to do. He enables us to draw near to God. In Hebrews chapter 7, for the law was made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is bringing in of a better hope, and that hope is Christ, through which we draw near to God. Psalmist in Psalm 73 said, it's good for me, which is a total understatement. It's great for us. It's essential for us to draw near to God. And having Christ as our high priest enables, his job was to bring us to God, and his sacrifice and his prayers, it's to bring us to God, reconcile us to God, and so that we would feel okay drawing near to God. But how often, how much do we neglect that? Do we neglect the throne of grace? Way too much. Myself included, and all of us here. There's not one person here who is too much at the throne of grace, who draws too much, too often, too close to God. We all need to value this throne of grace and take advantage of the great privilege we have of drawing near to God. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ, the high priest could only do it once a year and not without blood, and he could enter the Holy of Holies beyond the veil. But we can go there as often as we need to. As often, how often do we need mercy? How often do we need grace? You see, one of the ways we can tell how self-confident and how self-righteous we are is examining our prayer life. If we go about our days, and we often do, and do even important things without going to God, to that throne of grace, for mercy and help, grace to help, we are showing that we are proud, We're self-righteous, we're self-confident, and we don't need God's prayer. Somehow we think we can do it on our own. Well, guess what? We can't. And God's not going to let us get away with it for too long before he disciplines us. But it says again, and let us come boldly by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that veil that was torn from top to bottom, which is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. We're in God's house, but that is a picture of all believers, the household of faith, house of God, over. And Christ is the head. He's the head over all his people. He's the head over this church. There is no other priest that is head over God's people but Christ, the one high priest. He's the head over, having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near. That being the case, let us draw near. This is Hebrews 10. With a true heart of full assurance of faith, when we know what he's done for us, when we know firsthand that our sins are forgiven and that he's cleansed us, and he cleanses us daily because we daily sin. We daily commit sins that we need to be cleansed of, forgiven of over and over again. It's pictured in the washing of the disciples' feet. He didn't have to wash them all, the whole body, but the feet. And so we daily need to be forgiven and have that assurance of faith so that we can come with confidence. Draw near to God. Draw near to God at the throne of grace, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and guilty conscience, and from dead works to serve the living and true God. I'll take that if that's from me. It's all right. It happens. We have all that we need in Christ. All that we need. He is fully, truly God and fully, truly man. And all that we need. We need him as God. We need him as man. He needed to be God and man in order to have an acceptable sacrifice that we need. And he offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. And he was the perfect sacrifice, the lamb without spot or blemish. He could be no other. He had to be fully God. He had to be fully and truly man. And he had to be a perfect sacrifice himself. The sacrifices in the Old Testament were supposed to be undefiled sacrifices, and yet they weren't truly perfect. But inasmuch as they were pointing to Christ, to our great high priest, praying in heaven for us, a sympathetic and compassionate one who is touched with our weaknesses and able to save completely, fully, completely forever. I love the language in Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the utmost, which means completely and forever. He'll never let us go. We are kept by the power of God. He says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand, my Father and I, or my Father's hand, because my Father and I are one. No one, not one of his sheep will be lost, not one. He'll not lose one. The weakest, the slowest to learn, the most confused, the most weighed down with sins will be kept because they belong to him. He is our great high priest, and he is our great mediator and advocate on high, and he keeps us. So let us take those things and focus on Christ more. We can find grace. The language there is wonderful language, that we may obtain or get mercy. You can't approach God on our own. We need mercy. And the only way we get mercy is through our great high priest, the one who earned God's mercy for us. We can't earn it. No matter how much we plead or cry, or how many good works we do, and how many times we go to church, or many whatever we may do in church, get baptized, take the Lord's Supper, none of that earns us one bit of mercy. It was earned for us in Christ, if we're in Christ. And we need mercy to approach God, a holy, holy, holy God, a God of justice and truth, who knows the truth. It says, and there are no creatures hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. That's the God we approach with a clean conscience from Christ and find mercy, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need, just at the right time. Now, you could say every time is a time of need, and it is. That's why we need to be at that throne of grace. But there are times, when news hits us like a ton of bricks and we're devastated. We need God's grace then. We need when we get an awful diagnosis from the doctor, when a loved one is taken from us. So there's times when we suffer and we're devastated with news. We need grace, and it's there to be had, to be sought, to be had, to help. We have a great high priest, an advocate on high, one who sympathizes and is touched with our sorrows, our tears. It says he keeps our tears in a bottle. All, not one of them is lost. He is a great high priest, and he loves us and wants us to come to his throne of grace. Well, let's do that more often. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We would never know any of these things. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who illuminates the word. We thank you for our great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet who teaches his sheep and who teaches them through the word by the Holy Spirit. We thank you. We've been taught of God. We've been brought into your kingdom. We've been born again. We've been given new life in Christ and all the blessings, every spiritual blessing we have in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you. We pray that we would value our great high priest in all of his offices, our prophet, our priest, and our king. Father, we pray that we would look to Christ and set our minds on things above, where Christ is seated at your right hand and less on this earth. Father, we praise and thank you. We pray that you'd bless now the Lord's Supper as we take it and the rest of our day. Father, the afternoon time, and just thank you for your word and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.